Well, hello again. It's myself, Miles McKee, with the Gospel Truth Podcast, weekly podcasts. It's great to be here again with you, and I want to address a wee question today. And that is this. Are you ready for this? Can a believer ever lose their salvation? Yeah, can a believer ever be lost? Well, you know, some people teach that we can be saved and then we're lost. Or we can get ourselves lost. Well, is this true? If you have a Bible near you, we're going to look at Romans 8:38-39. Romans 8:38-39. Going to use that as our starting point. It says this. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now this that we have just read is the inspired answer to the question which comes to us in Romans 8, verse 35. Do you know what that question is? The question is, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? In other words, once we have by faith received our justification, once we've been declared not guilty, once we've been saved, what power is there that can separate us from the love of Christ? And so we've read the answer. Here's the answer. Neither death nor life shall separate us from his love. Well, look, can you think of anything which is neither included in death nor in life? Anything in life, nothing that happens to you can separate you, believer, from the love of God in Christ Jesus. No unseen powers can separate the believer from Christ. Neither angels, nor principalities, nor powers. Now, we read in Colossians 2:15 that in the finished work, Christ Jesus spoiled principalities and powers. That is, he defeated all the hosts of evil led by Satan. So they can't separate us from his love. And then further, he says, neither things present nor things to come. Again, let me put the question to you. Can you think of anything through which a believer might ever go which is neither a thing present nor a thing to come? And the Holy Ghost says that neither things present nor things to come shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ. Oh, that's good stuff, isn't it? I wish I was out there listening to this stuff myself. And this, as though that were not enough, he speaks in a more general way. When he says that neither height nor depth nor, that means height nor depth, anything in heaven, anything in hell, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hey, looks to me as though we're safe if we're believers. Hey, you're not safe if you're not a believer. If you are, however, a believer, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're safe. Someone asked the great Spurgeon. Spurgeon was a great preacher in London in the 1800s. One of my favorites. And he was asked, what persuasion are you of? What a question. What persuasion are you of? Now, what the fellow was wanting to know is, are you a Methodist? Are you a Baptist or whatever? What's your church persuasion? And Spurgeon answered and he says, let me tell you my persuasion. I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present or things to come nor heights nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. I'm persuaded. Are you persuaded? Believer, are you persuaded? Why not get persuaded and take God at his word? When we speak of eternal security and safety of the believer, what do we mean? We mean that once a sinner has been saved, been brought alive spiritually, regenerated, trusting in Christ, justified, they've received the reconciliation, that person can never be lost again. Now, having said that, now listen carefully. Well, I've got to tell you what we don't mean here. When we speak of the eternal security of the believer, we do not mean that it necessarily follows that if one professes to be saved, that that person is actually saved, eternally safe. No, it doesn't mean that if one joins a church or is baptized or takes communion or takes an interest in Christian work, that that person is forever secure. It doesn't mean that because one manifests certain gifts and exercises these gifts in Christian testimony, that that person is necessarily eternally saved, eternally secure. Why do you say that, Brother Miles? Well, Jesus makes it clear in Matthew 7, 21 to 23. There's people who will come to him at the last day, and he says this, not everyone, this is Jesus. He says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name have cast out devils, and in your name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Wow. Here are people who have been very active in what they call Christian work, and they've preached and they've cast out demons, and they profess with their lips that they've accomplished many wonderful works, but they're found in that day amongst the lost. And when they plead their great activity and their works and their earnestness as their Christian testimony, the Lord says to them, I never knew you. Now, listen to me. Notice he doesn't say to them, oh, I used to know you. He says, I never knew you. He doesn't say, I used to know you, but you've been lost. You've lost my favor, and I don't know you anymore. I don't know you any longer. You used to be saved, but you're lost. No. He says, I never knew you. Now, compare that to John 10, 27 to 30. Remember how he speaks to his own in John 10? He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. He says to these people in Matthew 7, I never knew you. But he talks to his own sheep and he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Wow. That's what he says of his own. He says, I know them. And for these others, in spite of all their activity, in spite of all their accomplishments, he says in the day of judgment, I never knew you. What a solemn thing. And someone asked, they said, well, okay, Brother Maslow, suppose a man who joined the church professed to be saved and who for a number of years was very active in Christian work and perhaps even a Sunday school teacher, or maybe an elder or a deacon, or maybe even a minister. But after some years of apparent consistent Christian living, he turns his back on it all, repudiates it all, returns to the world, utterly repudiates Christ, and now he denies the gospel he once professed. Now, how does that line up with your doctrine of the eternal security of the believer? What? That's nothing to do with it. The Apostle John tells us how we're to understand a case like that. He says in 1 John 2, 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us at all. So that explains it. It's possible to do all the things that we've spoken of and yet never be regenerated. It's quite possible to join a church. Make a Christian profession, it's quite possible to observe the Christian ordinances, to teach and even to preach, and yet never be born again. Now, if one teaches and preaches the truth, it will produce good results, and it'll do men good, whether the teacher or preacher is real or not, for it's the truth that God uses. It's the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. It's not the minister is the power of God. Okay, to understand the security of the believer, let me just briefly give you four things to consider, just briefly. Consider, first of all, Christ's one offering, Hebrews 10:14. It says, "For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified." That's enough right there to prove the point. The believer is eternally secure. He's perfected forever by Jesus. So we rest upon the perfection of Christ's one offering on the cross. Personally, I never can understand how people can read the epistle to the Hebrews and not see that throughout that epistle, the writer is contrasting the many sacrifices offered under the law with the one sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he calls attention to this. Under the law, every time an Israelite sinned, remember? When he needed a new sin offering. And every year the nation had to celebrate the great day of atonement when a new offering was presented to God for the people. Well, why? Well, because those sacrifices could never take away sin. They simply covered sin for the time being. And we're told in Hebrews 10 that when the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, he offered himself. And the effect of his sacrifice was eternal. Hebrews 10:14 makes this clear. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Perfected for how long? How long perfected for? For by one offering, how many offering? One offering he has perfected forever. Hallelujah. Perfected forever. Oh, well, oh, says somebody. Yes, they're perfected forever as long as they're faithful. That's not what the Bible says. It says he has perfected forever. Why forever? Because the sacrifice of Calvary is all effective. I'm sure those who deny the doctrine of eternal security of the believer do not realize that in so doing they are putting a snub on the finished work of Christ. And they are reducing the sacrifice of Christ practically to the level of the offering of bulls and goats in the Old Testament dispensation. But for the believer, all sins have been put away for how long? For eternity. Some people teach it like this. Now, when we're converted up to the time that we are converted, all our sins were put away. But now God gives you a new start and you can keep the record clean to the end of your lives. If you'll keep it clean, you'll get into heaven. But if you do not keep it clean, you cease to be a Christian and you have to get converted all over again. Oh, what absolute nonsense. What a God-dishonoring view of the atonement of Christ that is. If only those sins that were committed up to the moment of a conversion were put away by the atoning blood of Jesus, we had better hold off getting saved until we're on our deathbeds. Look, Christ died for the past, your past sins, and he died for our future sins. Do you mean that Jesus died for all our future sins? Yes. When Jesus died on the cross, all our sins were future sins. Look, I'm speaking to the believer now. All our sins were laid on Jesus. All of them laid upon Jesus. That's the kind of Savior he is. All our sins. But somebody asks, well, does it not make a difference then if it makes no difference if a believer sins? Well, look, that's another question. It'd take a whole sermon to go into that. But here's the point we're making today. As a believer, you will never come under condemnation. You will never have to face damnation. Check it out, Romans 8:1. And that's because of the perfection of Christ's one offering. In the second place, we base the doctrine of the eternal safety of the believer upon the perseverance and omnipotent power of the Holy Spirit of God. Look at Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you see that? If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, Let me ask you, how did you get to be a believer? Who began the work in you? Well, it was the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. He who begun a good work began a good work in you. The Holy Spirit did this. It was He who convinced us of sin. It was He who led us to put our trust in Christ. It is He who opened our understanding. It is He who's been preserving us since first we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit never begins a work that He does not intend to finish, being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Well, if the Holy Spirit had power sufficient to break down your opposition to God and to bring you to the end of your unbelief and rebellion, do you think for a moment that He doesn't have enough power to complete the work He began? Well, some people say, "Oh, Brother Miles, I see you believe in that old Baptist doctrine of once saved, always and saved, once in grace, always in grace." Or someone else says, "I understand that you hold that old Presbyterian idea of the final perseverance of the saints." Look, I don't know why this should be called either Baptist or Presbyterian, only to the extent that some Baptists and some Presbyterians agree with the word on this point. We simply believe that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. We believe that once the Holy Spirit has begun the good work in you, He will complete it. I've been bl a believer almost 50 years, and I've had varied experiences. I've messed up. I've been unfaithful. Unfaithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Unfaithful to my friends. I've had bad trip-ups, bad falls. But the wonderful thing is this, that the Holy Spirit of God has never given up on me, and He's never given up on you, believer. He's not given up on you. He will complete the work He started. Somebody say amen. Oh, and if at times I've gone astray, I've been wayward and I've gone been wayward and self-willed and didn't immediately repent, the Holy Spirit still brought me back to the shepherd. What about you? Do you believe? And the Holy Spirit is working in you. So I'm safe, we're safe, believers are safe because of the perfection of Christ's offering, because of the omnipotent perseverance of the Holy Spirit. And the believer is safe because, number three, he's already seated in glory in Christ. Now, remember this, there are two men in the history of redemption. One is called Adam, the other is called Christ. And when Adam fell, we all fell. But when Christ died, we died. When Christ rose from the dead, we rose. When Christ ascended into heaven, He took us with Him. See Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through to 23. Now, what does God do for us now? Does He put us where Adam was before and say, "Now behave yourself, you're now in Christ, but behave yourself, and you won't die again"? No, He puts us up higher than Adam could ever have gone, except by a new and divine creation. Check it out, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. He has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And now, because we belong to Jesus, we can never be lost. We can never be lost. If Christ is not lost, because, well, now listen, if Christ falls, we fall. If Christ fails, we fail, because we're in Him. He's our federal head. Well, when's that going to happen? Never going to happen, because Christ remains on the throne where He is seated in cosmic authority. You may have heard of the Irishman who was caught. He was converted, but he went to a church that taught that a man could lose his salvation. And one day he was seized with the dreadful fear that someday he might commit some great sin and lose his soul. He would, as it were, drown in his own sin, and fearing that he might one day be lost, he trembled at the thought. And then he saw there was a believers' meeting going to be held, and he heard the words. When he went to it, he heard the words, "You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Oh, glory to God, he shouted. I'm saved. Who ever heard of a man drowning with his head that high above the water? Yes, beloved, we are in him. We are in Christ. We are hid in him. We are, listen, we cannot be lost. Now, the last thing we want to consider, time's running out. Believers are the Lord's sheep. You can't be lost if you're one of his sheep. John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Notice in this verse, the sheep hear his voice. They follow the master, the shepherd. And no matter what the profession he makes, if he doesn't end up in some measure following the Lord Jesus Christ, it's only a sham, it's only a fraud, it's only a hypocrisy. But his following of Christ does not save him. That's works. No, only the shepherd saves. Sheep follow the shepherd. It just happens. Listen to John 10:27-28. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me and I give unto them. Who gives it? I give unto them. Who? The church? No, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Do you believe that? Well, look, I don't understand how people can read a passage like that and then talk about a Christian losing their salvation. It would not be eternal life if it could be lost. But they shall never perish, says Jesus. So you're calling Jesus a liar. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now the original in the Greek is very strong here. It says they shall never, no, never perish. It is impossible. It is unthinkable that someone who has eternal life shall ever perish. And here I am, poor lost sinner. But the Lord in grace picks me up and saves me, and I'm in his hand, and I'll never perish. And that's true of you, believer. You have eternal life, not temporary life, eternal life. Oh, don't be afraid of God's truth. You know, some people try to put guards around the truth and say, yeah, you're justified by faith, all right, but you have to have works to add to it. That's not true. It's by faith alone, and good works spring from that. And when you know you have eternal life, you'll find your heart so filled with the love of Jesus that you'll try to live for his glory. And so you're not going to be lost. Why? Because of the perfection of Christ's offering, because of the omnipotence of the Holy Spirit, because of our being seated in Christ Jesus in the heavenlies, because you're the Lord's sheep. An old-time preacher from the 1800s and I think a bit into the 1900s, an Englishman, he was a gypsy. But the name of, he was nicknamed Gypsy Smith. He got converted as a young man and he went to the local assembly and an old man at church asked him if he had trusted Jesus and nothing else. I love what he replied. He said, look, I cannot trust myself for I am nothing. I cannot trust what I have, for I have nothing. I cannot trust what I know, for I know nothing. So I trust in Christ alone. And that's the gospel truth. Hey, write to me, miles@milesmckee.com, M-I-L-E-S, miles@milesmckee.com. Write to me if I can help you. If you're listening, you're not sure whether you're saved or not, call on Jesus. Jesus, save me. I believe in you. I believe you lived and died and rose again and ascended into heaven. I trust in you for my destiny. Hey, check out our website, milesmckee.com. Got all kinds of our books and everything. They're listed there and there's all kinds of information. But if we can help, let me know. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.